Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us renewed grace and mercy every day. Father, we want to grow and become true disciples who are being transformed into your image. Father, teach us that today. Help us leave here this morning more aware of your presence and your love and how to speak the truth in love to others. We want transformation, Lord, not information. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Time to speak truth bombs. Hope you're excited. I love when we speak truth bombs. Anybody know what a truth bomb is? It's just something that's like crazy honest, right? Sorry? Yeah. Yeah, it's just like super honest. Sometimes it can be blunt, but it's the truth. And that's what we're going to be speaking about today. You know, we're going to be looking in Ephesians chapter 4 and really like the first 16 verses of that. If we look at, you know, we don't have it on the screen, but, you know, we're talking about speaking the truth in love. And if you look at 1 John, we kind of look at what our model is, right? And that, of course, is Jesus, his self-giving agape love, right? That's what we have to kind of model this type of love that we are to exhibit as we're speaking these truth bombs in love. We need to be rooted in love. And in order to do that, we need to be rooted in God. Right, so if God is love, right, and I think we've talked about this before, if God is love, then we need to be rooted in love, therefore we need to be rooted in God in everything that we do. And then, of course, Ephesians chapter 3 talks about, you know, how just God's love surpasses any type of comprehension. It surpasses all knowledge, everything that we have. It's just like mind-blowing, right? God's love is huge. Ephesians chapter 3, it's not on the screen. It's high and wide and long and deep, right? And it's as far as the east is from the west. It's all the way. It's massive, right? We as humans cannot even start to comprehend how big his love is for us. If you just think of that, I mean, that's pretty huge, right? The love that he has for us is gigantic. But again, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, we need to be rooted and established in that love. And in order to do that, we need to be rooted and established in God. So to be rooted and established in love requires that we speak truth in love. And that's really what today is all going to be about, is speaking truth in love, because when we do that, we are different, because not many people can speak truth. A lot of people can speak truth, a lot of people can speak love, but very few people will speak truth and love, right? And that's what we, as followers of Jesus, want to do. We want to be able to speak truth in love, and that's what our truth bomb is going to be about today. Speaking that truth in love. So Jesus spoke truth bombs all the time, right? Jesus spoke these truth bombs all the time, and they're meant to build up, right? They're meant to build people up, not tear them down, right? So just to continue to build somebody up. That's where the love comes in, right? If we're just speaking truth, and sometimes we can come off pretty, you know, maybe pretty crass or something like that. people aren't going to be built up. They're going to maybe start cowering and be like, man, I don't really want to talk to this person anymore. But if we speak the same truth, but in coming from a place of love, it'll be received completely differently. And really, you know, as we start, if we look at this from like a follower of Jesus, discipleship, evangelism type, you know, lane of the road, if we speak the truth in love, when we're trying to point people to Jesus, they're going to be a whole lot more receptive to it than if we're like, you need to accept Jesus, you're going to go to hell. Right? I'll be like, yeah, we're okay. While that's the truth, right? Who's going to receive that very well? Right? Not many people. Not many people. We don't want to embarrass somebody. We don't want to tear them down. We want to build them up. So let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read the whole thing and then we're going to break it down. It says, therefore, I, prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Now grace was given to each of us, each one of us, according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive. He gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From the whole body fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. All right, that's the whole thing. Now we're going to break it down for the rest of this message. So the first is, so this is Paul talking, right, in Ephesians chapter 4. The very first thing that he says in verse 1 is, therefore I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. So where did Paul write this? He was sitting in jail, right? He was sitting in a jail cell writing this, and he's calling the Ephesians to live worthy of the calling. And then the second thing in verse 2, to live a life worthy of the calling you received simply means in verse 2 to exercise humility and gentleness with patience, bearing with one another in love. So a lot of people might think, you know, to live a worthy life in full-time ministry, you know, you have to be a missionary in some far-off country, you need to be a pastor, you need to be whatever it is. I can tell you that is not even remotely the case. All of us who have followed Jesus have been called. Every single one of us have been called, and you don't have to be a pastor, a missionary, anything. You be an electrician. But it doesn't matter how, you know, what God has called you to do. It's what you do with that calling. So the best way for us to live a life worthy of calling is to be completely humble and gentle and patient, to bear with one another in love. Humble, patient, gentle, in love. So I know that we, maybe for a lot of us, we're pretty good with maybe, you know, humbleness and love, but maybe we need to work on patience a little bit, right? Maybe we need to figure out a little patience Maybe we're not as gentle as we could or should be. But really, in order to live a life worthy, we need to be humble, gentle, patient, and do that in love. Now, it might not sound exciting to do all of those things, but it's a very, it's a very powerful way to live. Very powerful way as we live with humbleness, gentleness, patience, and do all things in and through love. It is a very powerful way to live. It'll melt the hearts of those around you and soften those hearts and get people to want to get into a closer relationship or in a relationship with Jesus. We're called to be humble because God is humble. We're called, we're called to be gentle because God is gentle. We are called to be patient because God is patient. And we are called to bear with one another in love because God is love. Right? God is love. Now, when I say that there's pastors, missionaries, and people in full-time ministry who are not humble, are not gentle, and they're not patient, and do not bear with others in love, that is a fact. There are pastors out there that are, you know, ministry workers out there that are not humble, or who don't show patience, who are not gentle, but the vast majority are, and you, as, we'll just call you missionaries, right? Missionaries, wherever you're at, whether it's work, school, doesn't matter. You are a missionary for Jesus Christ. Go out and be humble, gentle, patient, and do all things in love. And it's amazing when you combine all of those things into the calling that God has placed on your heart, and you do all those things with, you know, gentleness, humbleness, patience, and love. It is amazing what God can and does do through you. Now, if you've never received a specific calling on your life, that changes today. That changes today. You have now, or you've always been called, right? So if you maybe not understood or didn't realize that you've had some sort of calling on your life, I want you to leave here this morning knowing that you have been called. And whatever vocation that you have, or whatever it is in your life, that is your calling, right? That you, God has called you to be his hands and feet, to point people to Jesus, no matter where you're at or what you're doing, to do so with love. Now, what God doesn't want us to be puffed up. If we take a look at verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's talking about the roles of the people in the church, and he says he gives himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. So what strikes us here is God wants the body of Christ to be built up and mature, attaining to a whole measure of fullness in Christ. He doesn't want us to be a bunch of babies in a nursery. He wants us to be mature. We don't want us to be self-absorbed. He wants us to go out and do what he has called us to do, to go out and make disciples that make disciples. That's what he's called us to do. He wants us to build people up, right? Not push people down, not break people down. He wants us to build people up in love. He doesn't want us to be puffed up with all sorts of knowledge about him. He wants us to know his presence. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to be transformed. Like, having the knowledge is great, but having the relationship is awesome. Jesus gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to the church so the church can be built up. not puffed up, to be built up. And he gave us leaders to equip people for works of service. He gave us leaders to equip. The New International Version uses the word equip, which translated in Greek means katartismon, which means equip. Try to say that word like three times fast. It's hard. It means to equip, repair, or mend. Right? So that's what the role is. And, you know, people in the church is to equip, and I think I talked about this, maybe it was on Wednesday, I can't remember, but my role as a pastor is to equip and release, right? So I try to give you the information and the tools and the different things that you need as my role as a pastor is what I try to give you, and then I say, okay, get out there and make it happen, right? Because if we looked at it from the, okay, the only people that are supposed to be doing things are like, you know, pastors or whatever, man, I would be a whole lot more tired than I am right now, right? But if my role is to equip you through the power of the Holy Spirit, you get all this stuff, these tools, this information, this knowledge that you have, and then you go out and you make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. The magnitude of what that looks like is so much bigger than if it was just me, right? Like, if it's just me, the aperture's like this. If it's all of us, the aperture's like this. It's huge. The impact that we can have for the kingdom of God when we all work together is massive. Now, catartismon, it was a medical term. Right, so who's ever broken an arm or a leg or something like that, right? And then the doctor, Genevieve raised her arm, yep. The doctor had to, you know, maybe perhaps like reset it and get it ready to heal, right? So it can get into alignment and heal and get stronger as it continues to heal. That's what we, as followers of Christ, who are or fulfilling the mission that he's called us to do, we help align things and help build things back up and help, you know, help people heal in situations in their life, their circumstances. Catartismon is a restorative word. Just like we've been restored through the blood on the cross, we want to show people that same love, right? We want people to understand and recognize that, man, we were terrible. We're still terrible humans who sin all day long, every day, right? But even that, Jesus still loves us, and he still died on the cross for us. And guess what? He did for you too. It's powerful. We work and serve together. The church will be built up. When we serve one another, the body of Christ builds up, and then we have this amazing unity. Now, this isn't a sermon about unity in the church, but this is what we're talking about. When we are unified, when we are working together and speaking in love, man, there's so much that happens in and through the church for the kingdom of God. It is amazing when we all work together or all kind of intertwine and we're all just, you know, after the same purpose, which is to what? Glorify God and build his kingdom. We don't do works of service to obtain our own salvation. Right? So I don't know if you've ever, you know, maybe even ever heard that, or if you ever thought that, you know, if I just do this or I, you know, help this person out, then, you know, God's going to really like me and he's going to say, yeah, you can come to heaven. That's not how it works, right? The things that we do don't guarantee our salvation. You know, I think of, you know, when we do Grace Gives Back, right? When we go out and help people through acts of service, we don't do that to guarantee our spot in heaven. We do that to point people who we're helping to Jesus. so they can ultimately enter into a relationship with him to then guarantee their spot in heaven. So when we look at all these different things, you know, when we speak truth and love, even through our acts of service, we do that with love. And when we have those spiritual conversations with the people that we're helping, it is amazing what can happen through those conversations. And truly, it can be life-changing, life-altering, and it can truly save their life through the blood of Jesus. So when we serve one another, the body of Christ is built up. When we help others who don't know Jesus, we help them realize what Jesus has done and continues to do in our life, and we do all of that through speaking in love. We also speak truth in love. Paul continues to say in verse 14, "Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by proper working of each individual part." So the rest of the message I want to talk about, speaking truth in love. Right, a lot of the things that we've talked about are important, but this one is really what I want you to leave here with. The more we do it, the more we speak truth and love, the better we become at it. Right, this is a skill. Right, this isn't something that we inherently have. Right, this is something that we have to, you know, learn and then practice. Speaking truth and lies, you know, I started the message with, you know, a lot of people can speak truth and a lot of people can speak love, but there's not a whole lot of people that speak them both at the same time. And that's what we want to do as followers of Jesus. We want to speak truth and we want to speak that truth in love to help others understand who Jesus is. So what can happen when we speak truth and love? There's several different things. I'm going to go over just a few of them quickly. First, we can avoid misunderstandings, any resentments, conflict, escalations, gossip, mistrust, superficial relationships. We can avoid all of these things when we speak truth and love. If we have misunderstandings, honest and loving words help ensure that your message is received correctly. We'll almost eliminate all misunderstandings when we speak truth and love. Speaking the truth in love will most definitely help reduce the chances of a heated conflict. Superficial relationships, when we speak the truth in love as a way of life, relationships have a way to just deepen themselves. Right? They're not superficial, right? They're not just like surface level relationships. No, they're very deeply rooted, meaningful, flourishing relationships when we speak truth and love. Now, you can still have disagreements, but when we come at it from a place of love, it feels completely different. It's not a disagreement where, you know, where you start raising your voice and your face gets red and you start getting mad. No, you're speaking truth and love, and the recipient feels that love that you're speaking from, and things will change. Might not change their mind, but at least they'll know that you still love them, even though you might disagree. Speaking truth and love builds everyone up. Excuse me. Not only will you begin to avoid being negative, right, but people will start seeing something different in you when you speak both truth and love at the same time. Now, by the way, I'm not suggesting that you don't speak truth and love at the same time. I'm just reiterating the fact that we need to speak truth and love at the same time and continue to do that if we currently are. you know, all the things, all the, you know, the negative things that we might see in some sort of relationship will start to turn slightly more positive as we start speaking more truth in love. We'll have stronger relationships, personal integrity, more conflict resolution, and you'll be an inspiration to other people. Right? We've always talked about, you know, when we want people to see Jesus through everything that we do, right? We might be the only image of Jesus that people see, right? So when we do this through, you know, when we speak through truth through love, it could potentially change somebody's complete outlook on what a relationship with Jesus looks like. We want those stronger relationships. It'll help grow trust and mutual respect. Our example might inspire others to speak truth and love. Right? Because ultimately we want everybody to speak truth and love, especially those who call themselves Christians, who genuinely follow Jesus. We want them to speak that truth and love. It's so important. And we want to be that godly influence on other people. Right? We want people to see Jesus through our actions and through our words. And probably the best way to do that is to speak that truth in love. So critical. So, what can we do? Here's some steps. First, we need to commit to speaking truth in love and making it a way of our life. Don't avoid conflict. Don't be afraid at what others might say. But speak truth in love. Speak with compassion. Speak with compassion. If you ever had like an argument or disagreement with somebody, and you, instead of, you know, going like the angry route or raised voice route, you just became super compassionate. I don't know if you've ever been there, but if you have, it completely changes the entire dynamic of the conversation. You can still have this disagreement, but if you're being compassionate, it completely changes it. And that's what we want to do with everything, every conversation that we have. And choose the right time, right? If tensions are high, that might not be the best time to have this, you know, truth and love conversation. So wait until the time is right. Be gentle with your tone. Don't start screaming and yelling. Be gentle, be compassionate, right? Love doesn't scream at you, right? Love is gentle. And listen to the other person's response. This is critical, right? Just like when we pray, we need to listen to what God is saying back to us. The same is true when we're having these conversations. We need to listen to the response of others as we're speaking truth and love. So even if, you know, Craig is out handing out these invite cards to atheists, right? What is their response? That'll inform how he can then pray for them. So we need to listen of how people respond. And I tell you, man, if that happens, you know, we're handing out invitation cards, the person ends up being an atheist, okay, and we pray. We might never know on this side of eternity if they've come to Jesus, but we know that at least we're doing our part and we've started by speaking truth in love. And speaking truth in love, we will grow to become every respect of the mature body of him who is the head, Jesus. Speak truth and love in every aspect of your life. And it, you know, it doesn't always have to be, you know, like a spiritual conversation. If we're just having like a work-related conversation with some coworkers, speaking truth and love works there too. You don't have to, you know. Speaking truth in love is pointing people to Jesus. You don't have to specifically start reciting the Bible to somebody as you're having this conversation to point them to Jesus. You can point them to Jesus by just speaking truth in love in whatever it is that you're talking to them about. So we are meant to be rooted and established in love. And that means that we have to speak truth in love. And so I want you to leave here this morning committed to at least trying really, really hard to speak truth and love in every aspect of your life. You know, once you start doing it, if you're not already, it'll start to become a whole lot easier because, again, it's a skill that we will hone and refine and learn. And, of course, every day when you have your quiet time or your prayer time or whatever it is, you know, ask God, Lord, help me speak truth and love. Help me point people to you through love, through my actions and through my words. Help everything that I do point somebody to you. That's how we want to speak truth and love. Practice it. And receive that truth from others that have your best interests at heart. So I'm telling you this morning that you've been called. You've been called to speak truth and love, to be that image of Jesus for everybody to see, so they too can then have that same relationship that you have. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you so much for helping us be rooted and established in love. Father, help us to speak the truth in love to others. We know our actions don't guarantee salvation, Lord, but they do help point other people to you. So, Lord, as we continue to make you famous, I pray that the Holy Spirit stirs up the hearts of those around us to receive the greatest gift that has ever been given, and that is the salvation from your Son, Jesus. Thank you for guiding our path. And I pray as we continue to follow you with each step we take, Father, that you would just place people in our lives who we could speak truth in love. Thank you for those opportunities. And thank you for helping us continue to refine this skill that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.